Sure, good to see you tonight. We're glad you're here. Appreciate the good singing, those one who led, the good prayer, the presence of each of you. I see a number of the audience I've known over the years where I've worked in gospel meetings. It's always a pleasure to see you again, and it's good to have you in our study tonight. I want to talk to us about when the gospel has no power. Maybe you think it's not that way. But I want to assure you that there's a great possibility that you can render the gospel of Christ powerless. And I want to attempt to show you that from the scriptures tonight. I believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16. Paul connected the gospel and salvation in Ephesians 1 and verse 13. In writing the Corinthians, Paul said that he preached unto them the gospel by which they were saved. 1 Corinthians 15:1-2. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." And so I want to be you assured that I believe the gospel has the power to save. But in our study tonight, if certain things are so, then the gospel has no power to save. And I want to catalog some of those for you tonight. First of all, if an individual makes up his mind that I do not intend to believe the Bible, I don't believe the gospel then has no power to save, right? The scriptures indicate in Mark 16:16, "But he that believeth not shall be damned." If he doesn't believe the gospel then has no power to save him. John wrote in John 3:18, "But he that believeth not is condemned already." Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." In the book of Hebrews 4:2, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them." Why not? "Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Hebrews 4:2. You see, before I even have the right or the power to become a son of God, I must be a believer. Remember that? Let me show you something. In the book of John 1:11-12, the Bible says that Jesus came unto his own. They received him not. But as many as received them, that believe on him, he gave the right or the power to become the sons of God. You see, it's not until a person is a believer that he has the right or the power to become a son of God. Now, when he gets to be a believer, he can either choose to be a son of God or he can choose not to be a child of God, right? In the book of John 12, remember the little story in John 12:42, beginning? How that there were many rulers who believed on him. Were they believers? The Bible says they were. But they would not confess him, lest they be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So you began to see then that it's at this point a person has the right or the power to choose, to decide whether or not he wants to be a child of God or not. But I tell you what, if you are determined, I don't care what this book says, I don't believe it, the gospel then has no power to say. This accounts for the Philippian jailer being told when he asked, "What must I do to be saved?" "Believe." Acts 16:31. This reason the gospel must be taught, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. But if I don't believe it, it'll do me no good. No wonder John 20:30-31 is written, "That these things are written that you might believe." But if I'm determined, I don't intend to believe it. I don't care what you say. The gospel has no power to say. But there's a second thing I want to mention to you. The gospel has no power to save if, all this is predicated I hope you got that, on if. If righteousness is come by the law, the gospel has no power to save. In fact, you don't even need it, right? Do you remember that in Galatians 2:22, Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness is come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I cannot be right. I cannot enjoy the blessings of God by the law of Moses. You remember in Romans 1:16 when he said the gospel is God's power to save? In verse 17 he said, therein, that is in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. What is God's righteousness? The psalmist said in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, 172, all thy commandments are righteousness. Where is God's righteousness? In, Paul said, the gospel. But if I can have all of this by the law of Moses, I don't need the gospel. Then if that's my position, then the gospel, so far as I'm concerned, has no power to save me. You know, I mentioned this a little bit already. The moment that a person takes the position that there is a continuous covenant, that the first covenant is still binding, he's forced to the conclusion that the gospel has no power to save if he can be right by the law. I hope you can see that. Very simple. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ, John 1:17. But again, let me show you something. The gospel has no power to save if we are saved by the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. We have a lot of people who are teaching tonight that we are saved in and apart from the Word of God. That the Holy Spirit will get a hold of you somehow, some way, and jerk you around a little and save you. If that be true, the gospel had no power to save. See? I don't need it. In fact, there is not a single example in all the book of God where the Holy Spirit, independent of the Word of God, ever saved anybody. Do you know that? If so, who? Somebody said, Cornelius. Ah, no, I didn't say Cornelius. Somebody said, I thought the Holy Spirit fell on it. It did. Acts 10. And the reason for that, according to Acts 11, 17, and 18, was to prove to the Jews that the Gentiles could be saved. The book that I read, when Peter was sent to Cornelius' house, Acts 11, 14, he was to tell him words whereby he and his house should be saved. But, don't miss my point. If men are saved today by a direct operation of the Holy Spirit, independent of the Bible, the gospel had no power to save. Don't even need it. Right. And you can see that, I think. But again, number four. If a person is saved by prayer, the gospel has no power to save. There are a lot of folks tonight who take the position and practice that in order to be saved, you just come maybe down to the front, or in some of the churches they had what they call kneeling benches or mourning benches, and you'd literally kneel down on those benches and pray until you prayed through that God saved you. If that's the way that it is, the gospel doesn't have any power to save. Don't need it. Saved by prayer. I challenge you tonight. Can you find an example in the Word of God, in the New Testament, where men were saved from their sins as alien sinners by prayer? Know of any? Anybody? I don't. You read through the book of Acts, all the conversions, Acts chapter 2 through 19. Without exception, every single one of them who were saved heard, believed, and obeyed the gospel. Right? Do you ever read where he said to any of those people, okay, you want to be saved, pray. Or pray the sinner's prayer, as we often heard today. If we're saved by prayer, we don't need the gospel. You can pray without the gospel, right? Absolutely. I need to learn, and you as well, that prayer is the right of the child of God. Peter said that his eyes open to the prayers of the righteous. 1 Peter 3:12. And you find Christians who were told to pray, like Simon who sinned. Pray. Acts 8:13-22. The first church engaged in praying. Acts 2:42. They continued in prayer. Peter was in prison in the book of Acts 12. And in verse 5, the church met to pray for him. I read about all of that. But I never did read about the sinner praying and being saved by prayer. You know, a lot of people have a lot of trouble with where the Lord, what's recorded that God heareth not sinners. But he that is a worshiper of him and doeth his will, him he heareth. Anything wrong with that passage? I must say, well, I don't like who said it. What difference does it make who said it? As long as the statement is true, it's recorded by inspiration, and it's in harmony with every other thing the Bible teaches on the subject. If we're saved by prayer, we don't need the gospel. It has no power. But there's something else I want to talk to you about. Number 5. If we are saved by water, the gospel has no power. Don't need it. Someone said, I thought that's what you folks taught. Saved by water. Who told you that? You ever hear a faithful gospel preacher say anything like that? I'm not saying that nobody ever said that who's a member of the Church of Christ. I mean, I'm not that dumb. I don't think. I mean, you don't ever hear anything from some people sometimes, right? You can't go up with that now. Did you ever read in the Bible where the Lord ever said we're saved by water? Anybody? Somebody said, it seems to me like I read that over in 1 Peter. Well, where was it? Was it about Noah? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, that's it. Where 8 souls were saved by water. 1 Peter 3 and in verse 20. And he said, well, that's like our salvation. He didn't say we're saved by water. He said Noah was. He was saved by water and that the water buoyed up the ark. Remember? We're saved by baptism. Verse 21. And I asked the question the other night, how much water is in the word baptism? And you know what we found out? How much water is in the word baptism? Not a drop. Is it? It means an immersion. It means a burial. Romans 6, 3 and 4. And the word baptism don't tell you what you buried in. I know some people who were baptized who didn't get wet. Try that on for a while. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. Walked across on dry ground, but it's called a baptism. They were immersed, overwhelmed, covered over. The water in the cloud. But now, back to my point. If we're saved by water, just putting somebody in the water, we don't need the gospel. That's no power to save. I propose if water saves, just putting folks in water, if that just saves them, I would encourage the elders here we got the ground out here someplace, dig a big hole and fill it full of water. And we'd gather all the people we could handle, manhandle, in Beaver Creek, and anybody else we could get over here, and we would put them in that water. Would that work? If that be so. The Bible never does say that water saves. Somebody said, well, I thought baptism saves. Yes, it does. 1 Peter 3:20. But baptism is not water. Baptism is an act of obedience. Don't forget that. God said, do it. When I have enough faith in the Lord to do it, then the forgiveness takes place in the mind of God. Somebody said, you have to be baptized to be saved? Absolutely. I preach a lot of sermons on that. You've heard a lot of sermons on that. You read a lot about that in the Word of God. But if water by itself saves, the gospel doesn't have any power. Don't need it. Get rid of it. I hope you can see that. Got to obey the Lord to be saved. But there's something else I want to mention to you. If Jesus Christ did not resurrect from the dead, the gospel doesn't have any power to save. You know that? We have folks who teach that he's still in the grave. Remember the musical a number of years ago, Jesus Christ Superstar? You know where that musical left my Lord? Dead in the grave. I tell you tonight, if he's still in the grave, the gospel doesn't have any power to save. Read 1 Corinthians 15, which is a chapter, by the way, about the resurrection. If there be no resurrection, Christ isn't risen. Verse 13. If there's no resurrection, our preaching is vain. Every sermon you've ever heard and never preached is for naught. And your faith is vain. Can't be saved without faith, right? Hebrews 11, 6. The apostles were false witnesses. Verse 15. The dead rise not, and Christ not raised, and you're yet in your sins. And those who falling asleep in Christ or perished. We sing, rescue the perishing. We've got to quit singing that. If Christ is still in the grave. And if this, in this life, only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. If Christ didn't resurrect, the gospel has no power. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power. By what? The resurrection, Romans 1, 4. The apostles were qualified to be apostles by the resurrection of Christ as a witness thereof, Acts 1, 22. There will be a judgment because Christ arose from the dead, Acts 17, 30 and 31. It's by the resurrection that baptism says, 1 Peter 3, 21. It's by the resurrection that we have hope of life beyond the grave, 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. But if he's still in the grave, we are of all men most miserable. And we don't need the gospel. The gospel said he arose from the dead a number of times on the first day of the week. One more point in the sermon, Jude. Number 7. If we put, I talked about this last night when I talked about the church growing. If we put the seed in bad soil. And a lot of people, evidently, are bad soil. The gospel has no power to save. Now, it was said in the good prayer tonight. And it comes from the book of Luke 8. The parable of the sower. Seed fell to the wayside rock, thorns and good ground. The good ground represents the hearts of people, the soil that is an honest and good heart. Until the seed is put in that kind of heart, not going to work. These other things are going to happen. The devil's going to snatch it away, the wayside, so on. But since we don't know the hearts of people, we have to just plant the seed every time we have an opportunity. Because the gospel is the power of God to save when it's put in the right kind of soil. And I think sometimes people get disturbed by not understanding that. We work and we teach and we go to all kind of efforts to see that folks are taught and they don't do a single thing about it. I had a home Bible study, had 15 people in it. I was discouraged because we only baptized 12 of them. I want to see all 15 of them be baptized. They never have been. They may never be. Somebody says, why the difference? Soil. Soil. Not the seed. The seed's the word of God, and it's quick and powerful. Hebrews 4:12. It's incorruptible. 1 Peter 1:23. But if these things be so, we don't even need the gospel, do we? Don't even need them. You don't believe it. You don't need it. If you're determined you're going to believe it, it's not going to do you any good. If righteousness has come by the law, you can be saved without the gospel. You can be righteous without it. And if the Holy Spirit works on you directly without the word, you don't need the gospel. Just let the Holy Spirit do it. Independent, that is, of the word. If you say by prayer, just pray. The Bible doesn't teach that, does it? Prayer is for the child of God. If just throwing the folks in the water gets it done, we'll do it. That big hole we're going to dig out here. We won't let anybody be lost. And if Jesus is still in the grave, we're just wasting our time. He's not. He has arose, and we can sing, up from the grave he arose. What kind of soil you got tonight? Good soil? Honest heart? You'll have to decide. You've heard the word. If you believe it, when we'll obey it, we stand ready to help you. Keith is here to help you make the good confession that Christ is God's Son, to baptize you into Christ, that you might be saved. Maybe you've done that, but you've been unfaithful and you've drifted away and you want to make amends in your life by repentance, confession, and prayer. Would you come while we sing?